Welcome to episode 147 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. I'm feeling a little bit saddened as I've just sold my old faithful 100-400mm L lens alongside my 24-105mm F4 lens. Basically to pay for the 24-70mm f/2.8L lens. On the evening of the day before I sold them, I got the two lenses out of my gear cabinet and sort of took the protector filters off and gave them a bit of a blow to remove the few specks of dust and things that get in there between the protector filter and the front element. Although I didn't really get that attached to the 24-105mm f/4 lens, I was really, truly saddened at the thought of saying goodbye to the 100-400mm lens. Today I'm going to reflect on this lens a little bit, because as you'll hear, it really changed my photography. You'll probably think that I'm just a big softie as I get into this, but you'd be right, so I'm not going to make any excuses. I was really attached to my 100-400mm. I bought it exactly 5 years ago in July of 2003, and it was my first white lens. It was only my second L lens, with the 17-35 f/2.8L lens being the first. Jesus, I've pumped a lot of money into Canon since then, just thinking about it. My only other lens at the time was a Canon EF 28-135mm f/3.5-5.6 IS standard zoom. Although there have been a few quantum leaps since as well, the 100-400mm lens was probably the lens that changed my photography more than any other. Until I bought this lens, I'd been struggling to find my genre and I didn't really know what I wanted to shoot. I'd always been interested in nature and shot landscapes when I could, and I sort of grabbed the odd bird shot, but I couldn't get out to locations with truly beautiful scenery or real wildlife here in Japan. I was shooting around the town and trying my hands at lots of stuff, and I'd always thought that wildlife and nature photography was really more of an elitist type of photography, and that I'd never have the equipment or the mobility to really focus on it. The 100-400mm changed all that, though. I bought it for my first trip to Hokkaido in August 2003. The trip itself was another pivotal point in my photographic life, as I had started shooting nature shots that I'd never thought possible until then. Today, we're going to take a look at a few of the images that really stand out in my memory of this lens, kind of as a tribute to it as it passes into the hands of another. On that first trip, literally the morning after we arrived, we got up before sunup and made our way out to the Kushiro marshlands. There was a wooden plank way, that kind of like a boardwalk, I guess, that takes you out into the marshes. And we were heading towards that, still on like a gravel track, when we came across a deer with a fawn. I shot the fawn at 275mm with the 100-400mm lens. And this was really the first time that I'd really sort of used this lens. I'd bought it literally just a week or two before we came away. And as we can see, that that first photo, which we'll look at right now, in my online gallery or in the Enhanced podcast if you're listening in iTunes or on an iPod. Let's take a look at image number 156, in which you can see the fawn. If you are listening while looking at my photos on the web, you can type this number into the field where it says go to photo under the podcast menu, or go to the podcast's page and locate this episode in the list. There are thumbnails to each of the photos right there, once you've clicked on the link for this episode, in the table there, you can see all of the photos via thumbnails and just click on them to view them full size. Now, this photo is not particularly great. It isn't that sharp as, you know, I would have liked it a little bit sharper. But still, you know, this image changed me. I recall the excitement as I crept forward a little more, hoping not to scare the fawn away. I crouched down to eye level, partly again trying not to scare the animal, but also to get a better angle on the subject rather than looking down on it. The next few steps did indeed scare the fawn off, but I got a shot or two that I could work with. I was hoping for shots like this when I'd bought the 100 to 400 millimeter lens, but it was just so exciting to actually be out there at 5:30 a.m. in the cold, misty morning shooting nature photographs. At the time, my portable storage had no image viewer, and you know, so I didn't have enough cards to store the whole week's images either. So I could only check the image on the LCD of my 10D for that day. It would be another week before I'd really see if this was a good shot or not. And as I say, it's not as sharp as I'd hoped. But a week later, I was so happy that I'd got this shot. It was all just such an exciting time in so many ways. The following year, in February of 2004, I took the lens back to Hokkaido, this time in the thick of winter, which was again a first for my photography. I was on a photography tour with Japanese photographer Yoshiaki Kobayashi, who I've mentioned a number of times over the years. I owe such a lot to Kobayashi-sensei. Of course, I'd used the 100 to 400 millimeter in the 6 months between the last shot and this next one, but image number 267 from this second visit to Hokkaido was just, it was another memorable image in my photographic evolution. This was the first time that I'd really shot wildlife, eagles and the cranes as well. And although they feed these wild birds, you know, kind of to keep them alive, but also to sort of get them to come down where people can photograph them, it's pretty much a natural surrounding, and so it was just so exciting for me. You can see I'd captured three Stellar Sea Eagles sitting on an ice floe, and it just looked so comical, like three old guys complaining, talking about someone while they watched them in the distance. Strangely, looking back at the EXIF data, this shot was also made at 275 millimeters. Which seems to be a nice focal length for this lens. I can also see from this shot that although I'd thought to up the ISO to 400, I was shooting handheld at 1/30th of a second here, so I was relying pretty heavily on the lens's image stabilization system. During a visit to Florida in March of 2004, I shot image number 350, which is another very memorable shot for me with this lens. I was on a one-day echo safari into the Everglades and was shooting from, not the whole day, but at this point I was shooting from a converted school bus with no windows. And, you know, as this big alligator charged the bus, I'd never realized until this point that alligators can actually stand up on all fours and run pretty fast, looking more like a large nasty dog than an alligator. Would they have like their legs pointing almost straight down instead of out to the sides with their belly in contact with the ground. I remember tracking this guy as he got closer and then filling the frame with his eye as he stopped his charge and sort of looked up at us, as if to say, you know, like, so that wasn't scary enough for you, you know, because we were all still there on the bus. But I have to admit, it was a little bit scary. He looked pretty powerful as he came up, and I'm sure if he'd jumped up at the bus, he'd have got close enough to I don't know, make me want to change my pants, I think. But without lowering the tone of the podcast too much, let's move on. In the September of 2004, I shot image number 465. I called this shot gear down approaching runway. It always seems to me as though this butterfly was literally approaching a runway with the, you know, its wheels down, ready to come into land. Maybe on that orange cosmos flower that we can see there. He just looks like a big jumbo jet as he entered the depth of field of the 100 to 400 millimeter lens. This again was an amazing shot for me at the time, and still is in many respects. The face and the front legs of the butterfly are the only parts of it that are in focus, with the wings sort of blurred through both motion and the fact that they're outside of the depth of field, which I found pretty cool. This was just such a difficult a shot to pull off as well, though, but I'd be lying if I said that I planned it. I'd just been shooting these butterflies as they flew around, and although I'd been tracking with this guy, the way it turned out was probably as much luck as it was judgment. On the 2nd of January in 2005, I shot image number 566. This hawk had been just been fed some meat at a falconry display in a park here in Tokyo, and I got close enough with the 100 to 400 millimeter to fill the frame with his head and shoulders for this wonderful portrait. I was shooting with the 20D now, with all the previous shots made with the 10D. I was at ISO 200 for this shot with the shutter speed set to 1/250th of a second. This is actually, you know, sharp as tacks, even though I was shooting at full stretch with this lens at 400mm. This happened every so often, and following some of the recent tests to see if this lens really is as soft as I've been thinking it was at extremes, I think that most of the bad press that this lens gets, including some of my own from time to time, may be more from, I don't know, bad stabilization techniques than from the lens itself. It's always been a bit hit and miss, though, and so I've really never nailed it totally. I also wonder if there were maybe some loose elements inside mine which made the lens soft for some shots and not for others. And I really could never figure it out. And although I'm confident of my own stabilization techniques with and holding techniques, the results with this lens were always unpredictable, which is one of the reasons why it kind of fell out of favor over the years. Still, I don't want to badmouth it too much today because I'm feeling a little bit sad about its passing, so I'm not going to go on too much about that. In March 2005, I shot the image that I spoke about in the very first episode of this podcast, which is image number 595. Another incredibly sharp image, despite being shot at 400mm, and in which, you know, again, we can see it gets in nice and close to the head, parts of the wings on the flamingo, and really just sort of focusing sharply on the eye. And this was shot here in the in Tokyo in the Ueno Zoo. These are just a few of the nature photos that stick out in my mind over the first few years of owning this lens. Although this last one was shot in a zoo, still, as you'll have seen, this lens enabled me to really start shooting nature in ways that had simply not been possible for me until this time. The lens was not only used for wildlife, though. Some of you will remember image number 827, which I shot at sunset, having almost lost hope that the sun or Mount Fuji would show themselves to me on this day. And yet I was presented with one of the most spectacular scenes that I've ever witnessed in my life. This was shot at 135mm, so I would definitely have used the 70-200 for this had I owned one at the time. But as I didn't, the 100-400 was used for this sort of work as well for quite some time. Another wonderful, crisp memory of a time shooting with this image is we can look at the results in image number 927. I was just sitting there in the cold snow with the 100 to 400 millimeter, watching this young male deer just a few feet in front of me, again in Hokkaido, this time in February of 2006. I can almost smell the cold. You know how cold smells? It's like, it's hard to describe, but you can almost smell it. And the wood of the trees there, it's all just coming back to me as I look at this image. And again, in my memory, there's down there in my hands is the 100 to 400 millimeter as I wait for something to happen and then raise it back up to my eye to shoot off a few more frames. This really is a precious memory for a relatively short time while I snapped off these frames of the deer in the snow. All great memories, and none of the shots that we've looked at so far would have been possible without the 100 to 400 millimeter. You're probably asking yourself why I sold the lens if I have so many fond memories of using it. Here's the thing. From this lens's perspective, I made the fatal mistake of buying the 70 to 200 millimeter f/2.8 lens in July of 2006, so 2 years ago. And that was 5 months after this, the Hokkaido trip in which I shot the deer that we just looked at. From that point on, the 100 to 400 millimeter lens's days were numbered, I'm afraid. The 70 to 200 is probably responsible for changing the quality of my nature and landscape photography to almost as large a degree as the 100 to 400 millimeter did for changing the direction of my photography. But that's a different story. The problem now was that as much as I loved the 100 to 400 millimeter lens, I rarely took it out for the 2 years following my buying the 70 to 200 millimeter f/2.8 lens. The last time that I used the 100 to 400 millimeter was in my December 2006 trip to Hokkaido. Although I now own the 70 to 200 millimeter, the versatility of the 100 to 400 can't be denied. Being able to just sort of push that lens barrel forward with a suck of air, and you know, you go from 100 to 400 millimeters in the fraction of a second. It will always be something that I'll miss. I have so many shots of Japanese red crown cranes with this lens that I really can't begin to choose a favorite. So I thought that we'd look at one from the last day that I used this lens. And that was the last day of the trip to Hokkaido in December 2006, which is image number 1288. On this last day of the trip, the weather had cleared and I got a number of nice shots with the cranes flying across just a beautiful clear blue sky. This is a shot from that batch, and I shot this at 200 millimeters, but really the beauty of this lens is being able to just swoop through that, such a long range of focal length to grab shots, really that wouldn't be possible if you didn't have some way of getting quickly through that range. Having become so attached to the 70 to 200 millimeter f/2.8, though, coupled with the 1.4 extender when necessary, and also now having the 300 millimeter f/2.8, another dream lens of mine, which becomes, of course, a 420 f/4 with the 1.4 extender, I've really got the range covered now. Albeit with two lenses and having to use the 1.4 extender. But I decided not to take the 100 to 400 millimeter on our January trip to Hokkaido this year. Sure, the new lenses take more messing around, even changing out lenses or putting on or taking off the extender, but the image quality is there for all of my shots. That unpredictable softness of the 100 to 400 millimeter that you never quite know when it would show up and ruin your shots. It really made me cautious, and it made these combinations that I was having to go through so much easier to live with, just because of the predictive results. Even though I might miss the odd shot through not having the focal length range in just one push, of the lens or a pull. The final nail in the coffin for the 100 to 400 millimeter was that I really didn't miss it in Hokkaido this year. I literally hadn't used the lens apart from 1 week in Hokkaido at the end of 2006, after buying the 70 to 200, that is. So I really just saw no reason to hold it and hold on to it any longer. I know that I tend to personify inanimate objects a lot, and you know, like I say, I'm a big softy with these saying these things. But I want to thank the 100 to 400 millimeter lens for showing me the direction in which I was taking, or I was to take my photography. There have been other quantum leaps as I develop my own style and explore other possibilities, and I have to say that I still don't agree with people that equipment is unimportant. Equipment can and has for me very often opened doors to new areas of photography that would have been, you know, impossible. I wouldn't have been able to have done a lot of the things that I've done without the gear. I'm not going to get into this whole argument today. I think that I've mentioned before that I don't really agree with it, and I'll probably mention it again. But, you know, there's a whole podcast right there, so I'm just not going to get into it today. I did just want to say, though, you know, today, I wanted to recognize how much this lens has done for me, and I hope that I haven't bored you in doing so. Call me a big softy, but I was literally just very close to tears as I held this lens for the last time, having taken off the UV filter and blown the dust off the front element for the last time. I really hope that the person that picks up this lens from the store that I sold it to learns to love it as much as I did. A little bit sentimental, but I really felt that I owed it to this lens to say something as it passed from my hands to another. At least we have a second-hand market for camera gear, though, which is good. I wouldn't have liked to have let this camera go without knowing that someone else is going to continue to use it after me, because, you know, it's got a lot of years left in it, and unless it does have a loose element or something that I don't know what that's all about. It always drives me crazy letting any kind of equipment go. I mean, even like, you know, you buy a new, microwave oven when your other one's still working, even though it might be on its last legs. I hate to think of these things going to waste. And so I really do like the fact that we can sell camera gear on and it continue to have a useful life while it's not actually broken. Anyway, that's it for this week. You have a great week, whatever you do. Bye-bye.
PhotoCastNetwork.com, your photography resource in the podosphere. PhotoCastNetwork.com.